Well, good morning for January 31st, 2013. You're listening to Consumerization Nation. I'm Jack Madden, and with me, as always, is Colin Steele.
Hello, Jack. Sorry we're a few minutes late. Had some technical difficulties here in the Boston office, but good afternoon.
Nice to talk again. And also with us, we have our who's turning into our resident BlackBerry expert. Do you mind being called our BlackBerry expert, Jim?
I mean, I guess if someone has to be, I mean, it might as well be me.
I mean, you have all the cool contacts in there, and it's better than being the enterprise social networking guy, right?
Well, I think BlackBerry tends to do better in page views and interest than the social collaboration stuff, but you know, you got to feed that trough as well. So,
or the enterprise Dropbox guy.
Yeah, well, I wear that as a hat as well, and I'll wear that hat proudly too.
All right, so of course we have the big news. Obviously, is to talk about BlackBerry 10, the scoop that you got last week. But before we dive into that, I'll mention just to gauge interest on our other topics. So we have that. There's a lot been going on recently, and it's been what, 5 weeks since we talked, guys?
Yeah, I think it was right before the holidays we did our year-end issue.
Yeah. So what we also have to cover today, we have the Microsoft Surface Pro coming out soon, all sorts of news or lack of news from VMware and their EUC division. I spent a couple of weeks with a Windows Phone 8 device. Here's the hint, I'm not using it anymore. And
ouch.
No, it's not as bad as it sounds. It's just my niche.
But you're not using it, so it can't be that good either.
Well, my niche use case that's important to me happens to mean that the iPhone is the best fit for me. And, you know, that's what consumerization is all about. Choice, right?
Sure, yeah.
But the number one thing that everybody's probably noticing today is that we are broadcasting the show from brianmadden.com instead of consumerizeit.com. And you'll see that we have indeed resorbed consumerizeit back into brianmadden.com. That was November.
Moment of silence. And proceed.
Yes. That was a fun 2012 with that site. When we launched this site in 2011, we were spending so much time convincing people that the idea of consumerization was actually a real thing, and the concept that we also call FUIT, of course Latin for he was, as in IT was in control of all the users, but then once consumerization happened, IT was not in control, Latin for he was, or spell it out, F-U-I-T. We actually wanted to call the site F-U-I-T.com, but that got TechTarget wasn't too into that idea. But anyway, we launched this site a little over a year ago with this idea to talk about consumerization. And as you know, I really got into enterprise mobility management. A lot more people got into the idea that consumerization is actually something that existed. And the traditional desktop-related sites, the companies that we were covering at brianmadden.com, got a lot more into the mobile and consumerization space. And we just had so many articles that we said, well, we don't know which site this belongs on. All these subjects, they all belong together. So we brought consumerizeit back in. And Colin and Jim will still be writing. Colin, you had a post yesterday that got a bunch of views on brianmadden.com.
Yes, I wrote about VMware's layoffs. They're laying off 900 people, and we can go into this later. I don't want to make this like the actual BlackBerry event yesterday, where we say it's a BlackBerry podcast, but then actually don't talk about BlackBerry for the first 20 minutes.
right.
But yeah, basically, VMware is cutting 900 jobs in non-core areas, as they say, and they say that they're going to be focusing on one of the core areas of end-user computing, but then they also said that they're getting rid of SlideRocket, their PowerPoint competitor, which is in their end user computing division. So not all of their EUC appears to be safe. And I was just kind of speculating on what else could go. And we can do some more of that speculation after the BB10 news.
Okay. Yeah. So bottom line, I'll just wrap up the news about BrianMadden.com and Consumerize IT. You'll notice at BrianMadden.com there are three menu items for desktop virtualization, consumerization, and enterprise mobility management. And that's how we're breaking things down now. And we're really excited to have this new structure and the sites back together. So with that, the big news yesterday, and so you guys were watching this event live, is that correct?
Yeah, they had a live webcast of it.
Yeah, and see, that was at 7 a.m. West Coast time. So I don't think I was quite awake yesterday when the event happened. And I know we've been...
Can I share my conspiracy theory here?
Sure, go ahead.
My conspiracy theory is that they did that on purpose so that all of the snarky Silicon Valley Apple fanboy bloggers would not be participating, or if they were participating, they would not have had their four cups of Starbucks yet, and they just spared themselves some online criticism by doing it that way.
So the community would be a little bit nicer. Nice, nice. So obviously we've been getting details about BlackBerry 10 and about the devices for the last year now. But since those of you were watching, and for people that weren't watching, like myself, first of all, what actually happened yesterday? What, if anything, new did we learn? And so give us the it's 11:09 right now. Give us the 3-minute rundown of yesterday's event.
I could probably give you the 60-second rundown. So yesterday's event was kind of a weird one, but it was sort of felt very fitting for BlackBerry. Probably the biggest news is that they buried the RIM name. So, you know, rest in peace, RIM. They're now just officially BlackBerry as a company name. But the presentation, I mean, they spent 20 minutes hyping up the crowd by doing weird things like cutting, I forget the guy's name, but he's the Kevin something. He runs like the Crackberry site, and he's like the number one BlackBerry fanboy in the world. And apparently he decided to like not cut his hair until BlackBerry 10 came out. And so they made this big presentation of like cutting his like awful greasy looking ponytail off.
Yeah. Hyping up the crowd is one thing, but if it gets awkward,
it got really awkward.
Okay. But they wanted to hype up the crowd. Maybe it was a little bit awkward. So, you know, maybe they don't have as much experience with huge, enormous product releases like Apple. So let's forgive them for that first 20 minutes.
Sure. So then, you know, then they spent most of the time, you know, they unveiled the two phones. So they've got the two phone models. One is the touchscreen. One is the keyboard phone. Kind of unveiled those, you know, blasted through, you know, the BlackBerry 10 operating system and sort of some of the new features. And then what? They brought out like Alicia Keys, I think, and had her as like on as like the creativity director of like RIM. And she basically closed the show, you know, lending her street cred to BlackBerry.
Like a celebrity endorsement thing. And...
Yeah. Yeah, well, and it was like also really awkward. I mean, she was a heck of an actress. I'll give her that much.
Sounds like a real backhanded compliment to RIM.
Well, I mean, it's not the backhanded compliment, but the funny thing is, you know, it's like they bring her out and she's like, I used to love like my old BlackBerries, and then we broke up for like these shiny, fancier phones. You know, she didn't want to say the iPhone. She probably couldn't say the iPhone. Maybe like the marketing or legal department had her under wraps from actually acknowledging the iPhone. And then, you know, she talks about how like with BlackBerry 10, of course, you know, it's sexy enough now that like she's ready to like jump back in the sack with RIM. You know, the funny thing though is that She still uses Instagram, which is obviously iOS only. So she's still using an iPhone, and which is like really, really even more awkward.
But so I thought the whole thing like. I thought the whole thing that was supposed to be cool is that they were launching with 70,000 apps. So you know, so none of us have any of these devices yet, but they're making such a big deal about launching with a bunch of apps. I'm assuming that like once we do get our hands on, I'll be able to do everything that I want. Hopefully,
theoretically. I mean, it sounds like especially in the U.S., the devices won't be available until March. So there's plenty of time to fill in the gaps wherever they may be. Doubling back on the Alicia Keys thing, she's also still tweeting from Twitter for iOS, which is something I saw today. So they didn't really do a good job of covering their tracks there.
Well, okay. So yeah. So how about you know, anything technical about the device? You know, maybe we can talk about the management, because we know that one thing that came up a while ago is that the changes with BlackBerry Enterprise Server and the email protocol will be Exchange Active Sync. But one question, I don't know if we covered this before. Besides Active Sync, and I know I'm shifting gears now from the device itself. And I do want to get back to the device itself, but I'm shifting gears back into the mobility management part of it, which, as you guys know, it's always my favorite thing to talk about. So what's there for managing the devices? Did they even acknowledge, like, hey, remember us, the enterprise workhorse that was the paragon of manageability and controllability for years and years? Like, we're back with this new device. So, hey, enterprise, like, give us some love again, because our device is awesome now.
Yeah, no, they didn't. And this was the other thing I think that like a lot of people were upset about. And admittedly for RIM, they're kind of in a hard place, because Colin and I talked about this yesterday, where, you know, at these events, you have to make your devices and operating system look sexy. And so you have to kind of almost appeal to kind of the consumer desire to want to buy the phone.
They're not going to be appealing to MDM dorks like me.
No. Well, no. And you know, no, of course not. I mean, we'll just say no. But but here's the thing. So they have to appeal to the consumer, but the large percentage of their install base is still enterprise corporate issued devices, and how they manage devices and that sort of BlackBerry infrastructure is a huge component of that appeal, and that audience wants to know about that, and they largely ignored it
okay.
in favor of touting sort of the consumer benefits of the devices.
Okay, so they largely ignored that, but so. So,
but in
so,
their defense,
I
mean, yesterday's event was not a part of a technical conference. It was not an IT audience. They had Alicia Keys on stage. Yesterday was about making a splash, getting people to talk about them, kind of reinventing the company.
Right.
Reinventing the company is not about, I don't want to say pandering, but, you know, tailoring your presentation to the people who already buy your stuff. Reinventing the company is saying we're making a new splash, we're going after a new audience, and it really would have taken away from that. Not that I think the presentation was all that great, but it would have really distracted from the message that they were trying to get across if they went to a whole enterprise thing. Building off of that, you know, the consumers are the ones who are making the purchasing decisions today. It's not organizations and IT are eventually going to have to decide, do we want to stick with BlackBerry or do we not want to stick with BlackBerry? But that decision is going to be influenced by what their users are using or want to use. And if their users aren't wanting to use BlackBerry, it's going to make it an easier decision for them to get rid of it.
So what you're saying, RIM was
going at it the right way by targeting consumers first.
Exactly. So to distill it another way, If corporate manageability was how they marketed the phone and why people bought the phone, then everybody in corporations would still be using BlackBerries right now. And since that obviously didn't happen, so for us EMM people, of course, and you know, like in 2010 when iOS 4 came out and with over-the-air management for the first time, they did not mention that in the keynote.
Right. Yeah, Jim and I were talking about this in the office yesterday too. I mean, Apple does the same thing. They have these events where, you know, the Foo Fighters play and they show all these magical photo editing tasks you can do. And then you check their website that afternoon and they have all this technical information on new features that you can use to manage iOS or new security enhancements in iOS or in iCloud, things like that. So,
right.
It's kind of par for the course.
Sorry to be talking over you. That's the talking over each other is the pitfall of giving a show from having half the people 3,000 miles away from each other. So for those of us that do care about the management, though, Jim, can you give us the 60-second overview? Like our there's the Exchange Active Sync for email, but how's the rest of this thing managed? And if you could like what's happening to Bez and about the old devices?
Yeah, I mean, the old devices and old Bez are eventually going to get phased out. So you're going to need, a new Bez, and it's basically BlackBerry Enterprise Services. So they're kind of folding Mobile Fusion, which is the console that you use to kind of administer the servers. But essentially, you're basically going to need a new Bez server to kind of manage BlackBerry 10 devices.
Oh, here's a question. So all the old devices. So are those going to be off the market come March?
I don't have an answer for that. My guess is maybe, but I don't. I mean, you could probably get them for free. You could probably get them for free now.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would imagine they'd want to have every incentive to kind of get rid of all those old devices and just kind of wipe our memories from them.
Yeah. But I feel like those are going to be floating around for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's no different than, well, I guess you can't really get like, can you buy anything other like lower than an iPhone 4? Can you get like an iPhone 3GS right now?
I know plenty of people that are still using them. Even I had a friend who just got rid of his original iPhone about 3 months ago. But that ran iOS 4, so like all the current up to date management stuff is still there.
I believe the iPhone 4 is the most recent one you can buy.
Right. So
or the least recent one you can buy. I mean,
I'm just wondering like how long this like is. Are corporations going to have a BlackBerry management fragmentation problem, or is the evolution of the new Bez is that going to smooth over things enough for companies that are still using Bez, and for companies that aren't using Bez? So, like, I'm assuming I was actually surprised. I was assuming like, are we going to see very soon like the announcement that the AirWatch and the other top MDM providers are going to be able to support Bez 10?
That's an interesting question.
And will that
going back to the first going back to the first thing you said about managing old devices? I mean, I think it would be really dumb on RIM's part or on BlackBerry's part to not support that. I mean, they can't expect everyone to upgrade to the new devices overnight, especially business customers. So they need, I'd imagine that they would do everything in their power to not have a problem where their loyal enterprise customers are not able to manage all of the devices that their employees have.
Right. And the AirWatch Twitter account just tweeted a while ago that they were listening to Consumerization Nation. So whoever at AirWatch is listening, send us an email or something if you have any plans for Bez 10 capabilities.
I imagine they would. AirWatch is one of the few companies, too. I feel like whenever there's a new anything, I get an email like the next day from AirWatch being like, we support this now.
Yeah.
They're fast. It's amazing how quickly they, are kind of, Windows Phone 8 or whatever. It's they're always one of the first ones out of the box. So I feel like we'll definitely know. And I think I can't imagine these other companies wouldn't, right? So why wouldn't, if you're AirWatch, like, why wouldn't you support BlackBerry devices for management?
To flip that question on its head, though, if you were BlackBerry, who is not only a device manufacturer but also a competing MDM vendor, why would you make it easy for those third-party vendors to manage your device in the same way with the same capabilities that you can?
So that's a good question. Let's use that to pivot into our next area. So BlackBerry and device management. So it's sort of like, do they promote the device and let other people have access to managing it so that the device can be popular, or do they promote the Bez and the new version of Bez, whatever, that has the universal device service or whatever it's called now, that can manage iPhones and Android devices? What do you put your bets on?
Sorry, I totally spaced out. I was watching Colin type to Dave Stafford on the Chat Tango. Sorry, can you repeat that real quickly?
Maybe this isn't even the right question to be answering. But if you're BlackBerry, do you open up your devices so that AirWatch and others can do real management of it, or and then give more opportunities, give your device a better environment so that it could be more successful, or do you protect the management software business?
I think you try to protect the management software business. I mean, if you're betting everything
on this device.
Yeah,
so wouldn't they would want as much device compatibility as possible.
Right. Well, this is the hard place that RIM is at. So if they have to make a phone that consumers want to buy, irregardless of any sort of enterprise work, whatever. So they need to make a device that when a consumer walks into a Verizon store, it picks up the iPhone, picks up an Android, Samsung device, picks up a BlackBerry. That device has to stand on its own for a consumer to want to buy. At the same time, they have to also make it so that, enterprises don't want to migrate to anything else. So they need to also make it so that, enterprises want to keep with, Bez, migrate to Bez 10, use Mobile Fusion to support Android and iOS devices. The question is...
And probably application management for Mobile Fusion now as well.
Yeah, application management as well. So, I mean, they're really in a tricky spot. I mean, and this is why I think it was one of the hard things. And they really didn't give enterprises or haven't really given enterprises any reason yet to migrate, right? So they haven't made the case that, like, enterprises should actually migrate.
To the new version of Bez or to the...
To everything. I mean, there are plenty of devices, AirWatch, AppSense just came out with Mobile Now, which does device management, application management, secure email, plugs into Data Now, which is like their Dropbox product.
The world is moving on to an iPhone, Android, and pick your EMM product world. So RIM has a big case to make.
Yeah, it's like the world has moved on where employees pick whatever device they want, and the enterprise just needs to have a management suite that can handle all those devices and secure the apps and data. I think RIM, I hate to say it, but 2 years ago, if they had come out with this, we might be seeing a different story, but I just think the world has really moved on from any sort of value add that they can offer enterprises in the management space.
Yeah, and this seems like a good time to look at the Windows Phone 8. And you know, one question that I had about that. So I'll mention my experience with Windows Phone 8. I used it for about 2 weeks, and it was a Verizon HTC 8X. And this phone was freaking awesome. It was super fast. It was beautiful. I really liked the live tiles. I really liked everything about it. The application integration ecosystem, I wasn't happy with. You know, I used to be a musician, and you know, I'd like to have my iTunes in a certain way, and this didn't really support that. And I'm also big into Google Docs and Google products, and this Windows Phone 8 didn't really support that very well. So, hence, I'm back on the iPhone. So this and we see that Microsoft is sort of protecting the Windows Phone 8 and trying to keep it in its ecosystem. How open to the external ecosystem is this are the BlackBerry 10 devices going to be?
I think they want it to be as open as possible.
Yeah, I mean, they went out of their way to stress how many applications are going to be available at launch, 70,000. From the purely consumer perspective, they kind of have to be. I mean, I know that they have music and video service in the BlackBerry World App Store, but, I mean, who doesn't already have some sort of hooks into one or more of those existing services from, you know, either Google Play or iTunes or Amazon. So they can't really expect that to the BlackBerry ecosystem to really just kind of catch fire. There's really not a lot of greenfield customers to go after there. And right. I think it kind of carries over into more business oriented apps and services. Even though BlackBerry has the entrenched enterprise customers on the management side, on the business user side, people, you know, with a few exceptions, you know, email and BBM are very popular apps among whatever BlackBerry users are left. But other tasks that they use to do their jobs, they rely on the third party services that we all rely on. So it needs to be something that BlackBerry makes available and goes out of their way to make available every service that they can for customers. Otherwise, they'll pull a similar act to what you did with Windows Phone 8. And if it doesn't meet your needs, they'll go somewhere else.
Right, right. So right now it's 11:30, so I'll just remind everybody that we're listening to Consumerization Nation with Jim and Colin and Jack Madden. We have about 15 minutes left. I want to go into a little bit, always into my favorite perennial subject of mobile application management. So I have a few things to note and questions to ask of you guys. So to note, Jim, you got a scoop that that BlackBerry is going to be doing more mobile app management stuff with their iOS and Android app management product. And AirWatch recently has been talking about doing a lot more mobile app management. So I have two questions here. And the first is, hey, like, everybody's doing this now. Like, and we know that last year was like the year of everybody starting to talk about mobile app management. Do we think this year is actually going to be the year of where everybody starts doing that? And I see that the chat room is starting to light up a little bit. The next question is, we have two platforms coming out for rank 3 and 4, and you know, whether they're each of them are 1% or they get to 5% maybe one of them or both of them or both of them together to 10% of the market share. How annoying or how difficult is that going to make life for the purveyors of enterprise mobility management products that have been putting all of their efforts into Android and iOS? So that was a lot to talk about. So thoughts?
Was there a question? Yes. I mean,
yeah, yes.
Yes to both. I think most companies and most places that I've talked to sort of all acknowledge that it's not about the device. It's about the managing the applications and data or controlling and securing it. But I also think they want those MDM capabilities to set policies and push those down onto the phones. I think where you're going to start seeing is that, you know, you have a pretty clear picture of what it takes now to support enterprise mobility. You know, it's a little bit of MDM. It's application management. You know, it'd be nice to have sort of a secure email that's a third-party app or whatever. And it's also controlling the data. And I think, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, so the problem is here, like, we have, us in the EMM industry, we have this vision of how things can work, and there are various ways you can control devices and data, and we're saying, hey, the EMM industry, we have these options, they're out there, but the question is, like, a year ago, Brian and Gabe and I worked on a book called The VDI Delusion, and for a few years, people were making predictions whatever huge proportion of computers would be VDI, and then more recently, people are backing down their positions and saying, no, this is only going to be a smaller strategic thing, and we did title our book The VDI Delusion. In a year or two, are we going to look back and say, like, remember when every single huge mobility management and application management and desktop management company, remember when they all came out with their enterprise mobility management products? Are we going to look back at that in the same way and think that there was too much hype, or is this really going to be real the way that we think all these products could work in this cool way?
I mean, this is technology. There's always too much hype. But aside from that very cynical but true view, it's very hard to tell. I mean, just because a technology makes sense in a theoretical way, putting it into practice is often very difficult. Organizations are learning that even with, very basic mobile implementations, just, allowing open-ended BYOD policies to take place. And I think a lot of organizations still kind of view mobility as a add-on as opposed to something that's core to the business, which, a lot of experts talk about is you have to kind of make it a part of your business and have buy-in from everybody for it to work. And we can have the greatest technologies and the greatest approaches to mobility and management and security and application delivery, but if organizations don't have that same level of enthusiasm that we do about implementing it and how it can actually improve business, it won't matter.
Right.
And I think it's more of a, VDI had a lot of hype around it, but and this has a lot of hype around it too, but this is more of a, VDI had a lot of things hyped about it that weren't true. People just heard virtualization and thought cost savings, things like that. This is more of a, we're totally transforming the business, and it takes a lot more to get that ball rolling successfully.
So yeah, for mobility in general, but like maybe it's our delusion that we say like that we're saying like, yes, people will accept the corporate versions of applications, and you know, we'll have our corporate wrapped version of whatever app, and you know, our corporate file syncing app, and are we drinking the Kool-Aid to believe that that can happen? Or
I guess
we'll see. And
well, part of it, the problem too, is that we, you know, treating mobile like it's this, you know, special little child. And I mean, at the end of the day, like, it is just a computing device. And I know it's, the use cases are definitely different. I mean, you know, the way you go about supporting and enabling it is certainly different than, say, a standard laptop or any other computing device. But I think, you know, we're just in this early stage where people are kind of wrapping their heads around it, coming to grips with how it fits into the business need and business use case. I don't think we're gonna think anything of this in 5 years or 6 years. You know, it's gonna be like, haha, remember when, you know, there were all these different, you know, management companies. But if you talk to people who have been in sort of this long enough, they'll say, well, look, I mean, that was the same way with PCs and laptops before Microsoft came and, you know, kind of wiped out all the PC management companies in the mid-90s. So I do think, yes, like, we're in kind of a weird period where we're trying to figure it out, and it might not be the case in 5 or 6 years, but, you know, you got to deal with the cards that you're given.
And in the meantime, somebody has to be able to make sense of all the products and all the companies and what everybody's doing and how these things will work. And so that's us.
Right. And mentioning all of the companies that are out there, I mean, I think that plays into enterprise hesitancy a little. If you've been through these changes before and you hitched your wagon to a PC management company in 1994, you were probably kind of up the creek without a paddle for a while there when they got acquired or went out of business or what have you. And I think we're probably going to see a lot of that in this market eventually too. So,
yeah.
And that, it's kind of like a self-fulfilling thing where I'm hesitant about mobility, and I'm hesitant about mobility taking off, but the reason mobility isn't taking off is because you're hesitant about it.
Would you call it a paradigm shift, Colin?
Right. So
it would be quite the paradigm shift.
Like the one thing that I can point to, though, is like, and you know, this is never the best excuse, but look, everybody is doing it for EMM products. That is, like, everybody. Some companies love it so much that they have 4 different products.
Hello, Dell.
But no, seriously. Okay, so bringing an end to that conversation, we have about 5 minutes left, and the reason for that is that I have to skedaddle over to Mac IT World to do a quick video to post tomorrow with one of my favorite companies, AppThority, that does the cool app reputation stuff. So I'll have a video of that in action. On the list we have to talk about today, so BlackBerry, Surface Pro coming out soon, 128 gig version of the iPad is coming out soon.
Can I say something quick about the 128 gig iPad?
Go ahead.
Brian wrote about it, Brian Madden, and I left a comment that I just want to kind of repeat here. Everybody's saying it's like the iPad for business, but the only reason they're saying that is because that's what Apple said. Apple kind of mentioned that several times in their announcement of the 128-gig iPad. The only thing that's different than other versions is it has more storage. I don't know how that makes it a business iPad. If anything, it makes it more of a consumer iPad if you're buying a bunch of movies and everything. Most business users rely so much on cloud services these days, and I don't know how much business material you actually store on your iPad. And I don't know how many business apps you would have to download to even come close to reaching that storage capacity.
Well,
I really don't see how it's a business app.
Hey, when I can have all of my Google Drive docs also synced locally, you know, that'll be awesome. I'm, you know, all this stuff about like anything that allows me to have more stuff local, I am all completely in favor of, because, you know, as much as we talk about ubiquitous connectivity is just around the corner. Well, you know what? It's been just around the corner for a long time. And, you know, I feel like I'm going to be syncing locally for the foreseeable future. You know, I use Dropbox. Everything is local on all of my machines. Local offline Google Docs, that's where I do tons and tons of my work. So
I will also say, too, you know, for like healthcare professionals or certain verticals, and you, I hope maybe someone got a bingo word for that. You know, x-rays, you know, there are certain files that are huge file sizes. You know, architects, 3D drawings, CAD renderings, x-rays. I mean, those are the ones that I can think of off the top of my head. A lot of those companies are also don't want to put those files in a Dropbox. You know, they want them locally. Obviously with healthcare, with like HIPAA regulations and stuff like that, they really can't put them in the cloud. So I think there is a certain business case use for it. You know, will it be across the board everyone? No, not really. I mean, you don't really need much more. You know, you don't need a ton of space on an iPad if you're putting stuff in Dropbox and iCloud and stuff like that. But I could see, I mean, the use case for certain professions.
For like offline syncing, man, I am all about that. So yeah. My next iPad, whenever that is, will be as big as you can get.
Yeah, and the other
just like
thing
my 64 gig iPhone.
And I'm just going to totally talk over Jack. But the other thing, too, is that, you know, obviously they made the announcement right around the Surface Pro debut. And, I mean, you saw a lot of stories, I'm sure all of you guys did, about how, what is it, the 64 gigabyte Surface Pro has like 20 gigabytes of storage on it. So if you look at, say, an iPad with 120 gigabytes and you're maybe getting, what, 120 gigabytes of storage or 125 versus, you know, spending all this money for a Surface Pro where you're getting a third or half the actual available storage of what they're saying, I mean, I think that's a huge upside as well.
Well, I think the problem with the Surface Pro or Windows devices anyways is that they typically come loaded with a ton of craplications that you don't really need, but that Microsoft partners force on there.
There we go. So we have about a minute left. I don't know what's going on with a drinking game or whatever in the chat room. If anybody wants to text me, I'll say what you need to win. So thanks everybody so much for listening and commenting. 30 seconds, Jim and Colin. What do we have coming up in the next couple of weeks that we'll be able to talk about in the next show?
I'm working on a big cover story for our modern infrastructure e-zine about the rise of Apple and mobility in general, and how it will long-term affect the dominance of Windows and x86 computing, not just on the desktop, but also in the data center. So I've learned a lot of cool, interesting stuff reporting it, and looking forward to sharing that relatively soon.
Okay, and that's TechTarget's Modern Infrastructure e-zine, which I've read the first couple of issues, and it is really cool. So read it. Jim.
Yep. So let's see. Next week, Box is coming to Boston for their world tour, and I'm going to be spending the day with Box. They've got kind of a roadmap breakout session, so hoping to kind of see what the year ahead is in store for Box. And I think obviously a lot of our users are probably interested in what they're going to be rolling out for new features and stuff like that. And then, well, we didn't get to talk about VMware, obviously, but also on my horizon, Ben Goodman. What's that?
On your horizon.
On my horizon. Oh, Jesus, I didn't even realize. That's a horrible pun.
So I did the rim shot.
Yeah, it's total rim shot, BlackBerry shot. But they've got Yeah, they've got some kind of end-user computing announcement coming up. Ben Goodman is coming to Boston, I think, next week or maybe the week after. And I just got kind of the invite to go meet with him to talk about whatever they've got coming out. It's supposedly maybe a big deal. That's what they said to get me to agree to meet with them. Could maybe be see the Horizon Suite go from vaporware to actual in the thing. I don't know. Maybe they're spinning it off to, as a lot of people have kind of rumored. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But that's also going to be what I'm keeping my eye on.
Awesome. Cool. I haven't heard anything about that. So if anybody in VMware PR or anything is listening, shoot a note my way. Because I'd like to know about that. All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Jim. Thank you very, very much, Colin. Thank you, everybody who is in the chat room chatting. We're going to have this show recording posted either in 5 minutes or in 2 hours, depending. And we will be back at you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I think that was the best chat room yet, and hope to do it again next episode.
Thanks.